Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, or actually, it's morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and with me, I am delighted to talk to the lovely Jodi Grenier, who is the Executive Director of the Foundation for Women Warriors, and we are going to be talking today about women veterans and what goes on with women veterans. And I know we're coming up on Veterans Day, but Jodi is our leading lady. Please say hello to all of our listeners.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much, Michelle. I'm so happy to be on the line this morning.
Well, I'm quite charmed with you, and I know you have an incredible story and are doing some amazing work with the Foundation for Women Warriors. And, you know, just for all of our listeners to hear, you know, I mean, I think I say this every time in getting to know you a little bit, that, you know, when we meet a veteran, there is a lot of love and support for veterans, at least in the Southern California and our business community. And, you know, thank you for your service. You know, I always want to know what's appropriate, what's right, but I do mean that thank you, you know, for what you have done on behalf of our country. And that said, I really would love to know about your role at the Foundation for Women Warriors and what you're passionate about in obviously supporting women veterans. Can you give us a little overview?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think as the executive director, a lot of what I do is the oversight of the entire organization and our programs, ensuring that what we do is impactful. And part of that is bringing in partners who support our women veterans and can advocate for us. I think there's a lot of mystery around who is a women veteran, and because we're not as easily recognized as men, it's a lot of my job is educating the public on what a woman veteran is. And so she can be your sister, your neighbor, your coworker, a mother, daughter, a sister, anything that any woman is. So that's essentially what my job is, ensuring that the public has a good idea of what a woman veteran is.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of kind of misnomer on what a woman veteran is. I mean, you've enlightened me on so many occasions, you know, I mean, kind of like, you know, I meet so many women business owners and, you know, I'm interacting with women who are in corporate America and, you know, the conversation doesn't come up mostly by the other woman that says, I'm a veteran. I mean, you don't just put it out there that you're a veteran. I'm really curious for you, like, what do you find, you know, with, let's just say with most kind of the makeup of women veterans. I mean, I find them humble. I find them, you know, proud. I find them, you know, so knowledgeable about certain things, you know, based on what they did in the military. And yet, you know, they don't put it out there that says, you know, I'm a woman veteran. I mean, tell a little bit about that, because that's been a real aha for me, knowing that we want to align and be supportive of women veterans, but, you know, they don't put a sign out that says that's who I am, from what I understand with you, what you've shared.
I think that's generational. I think that women veterans that have served post 9/11 have no qualms about stating that they're a veteran and introducing themselves as such, given that, you know, there is a little bit of pride and identity in that, serving in an austere environment or in combat roles in either Iraq or Afghanistan, transitioning from that into the civilian world, sometimes there's a grasp on that identity that is hard to let go. I think that some of the older women veterans or from different eras tend to not recognize themselves as veterans or not introduce themselves that way because there was a longstanding confusion about what a veteran is. And so for a long time, the idea is that if you're a veteran, you had to serve in combat or had to serve overseas. And really, the qualification to be a veteran is that you serve the military actively for 2 years. So I think that my generation does a really good job of beating our chest or self-identifying. But in some other aspects, it can also be that someone just has grown in their own career or in a new identity and doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not on the tip of their tongue that they're a veteran. And I think it varies from person to person. But I do know that post 9/11, they typically identify as veterans.
Yeah. You know, and I'm curious for our listeners to know that are, that are predominantly, you know, in the business community and they work for companies or they own small businesses, you know, what is the transition and kind of planning process like for someone to retire and opt out of the military? I mean, my kind of like assumption is that there are amazing resources as you opt out of the military. I know you've shared some things with me, but could you give us a perspective of what it's like for, you know, when you retire out of the military? I mean, is it a disconnect? Is it that all of a sudden you're, you know, in a almost like a foreign territory, so to speak, when you leave the military? What's that process like?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways you exit the military. If you do 20 years, then you retire. And when you retire, then you're entitled to benefits and pension. And then for others like myself, I did 5 years, which was my commitment to the Marine Corps. I transitioned out and I had no retirement or pension because I didn't do the full 20. I think, again, depending on where you fall within the realm of have you retired or are you just getting out after 5 years, a lot of the preparation and planning is individual. They do give a 2-week class on how to apply for VA healthcare and VA benefits. They do a little bit of resume work. They introduce you to different schools and opportunities. But, you know, for the most part, being in the military is being within its own world. So you're isolated. And when you get out of the military, there's so many options that the transition can become daunting. You speak a different language. You wore different clothes, mm-hmm. actually the same clothes day in and day out. For women, you have to tie your hair up. And so some of the things that can be challenging aren't even immediately thought about. As a woman, what do I wear to work? You know, I've been in boots and camis or a uniform for so long. How do I pick out clothes that are both flattering and that I feel comfortable in? You know, there's also the language. We talk a lot in acronyms. And so, you know, going to a job interview or just networking and you say, oh, I did, you know, I used to write INSUMs and INT reps for while I was an Intel analyst to someone, they're like, what does that mean?
You know, no idea what that is. Just so you know, you're talking right. to me. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah. And so it's, you know, like I said, there's resources there, but there over the years, there's grown to be so many that it becomes like trying to pick out, what do they say? If you offer 15 different types of insurance policies to your employees, only 30% will actually choose. And if you give them 3, it'll jump up to 70%. So there's so many different options and so many different avenues. I think sometimes veterans are confused on where to go, so they choose not to, and they choose to do it on their own.
Right.
Again, it's individual, and you also have to think about what was that person's stage of life before they went into the military? Did they go in right after high school? Is this their first job? Or is this someone that went to college and went into the military and might have alumni status somewhere and has a pre-existing network? So there's a lot of differences depending on, you know, who you are and how you entered the military and in what capacity.
I just, you know, and again, I think until we walk in somebody else's shoes, we don't know what the, you know, what it's like. And I love that you've shared some of that with us through our association. You know, in your role with the Foundation for Women Warriors, can you just give us a little bit, I know you've shared a few things with me, but for our audience and our listeners, what are some of the really primary things that you serve through the Foundation for Women Warriors? I mean, what do women need the most? And I know you've got kind of categories for that. Can you share what those are that, you know, you guys have prioritized what you feel women are really in need of as they, you know, make the transition, get on their feet and, you know, make their mark in the civilian world?
Right. So we try to meet the four biggest needs of women veterans, which essentially is a microcosm for society: housing, employment, education, and childcare. We do that based off of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So we meet the, the basic needs. We provide emergency assistance or warrior assistance for things like rent and utilities and unforeseen medical bills or illnesses. And then we provide childcare assistance to working veterans or student veterans as a means to empower their future. A lot of times women veterans have children and find themselves in situations where preparing for the childcare bill in the civilian sector is not easy. It's especially challenging when you're transitioning out and not able to translate your skills, and maybe you don't have a college degree, and a lot of corporate America doesn't recognize your skill set in lieu of a degree, so you're not making the same pay that maybe you made while you were in. And we really fill that gap. So if someone is working, let's say Christmas, where most families have the privilege to take off Christmas with their kids, women veterans typically don't. So we'll provide a winter camp for those kids. Summer, a lot of women veterans transition in place. So they might have grew up in the Midwest or on the East Coast, and out here in California, why would you ever want to leave sunny California? So
Some people do, Jody.
Right. But grandma's not down the street. Your family's not accessible for childcare. So over the summer while you're trying to work or go to school, we'll fill that gap. And then our last component of service is Warrior Connect. So we have a very robust resource and referral network, and we connect with partner agencies all throughout the country and also here in Southern California. And in that facet, we deliver access to mental health, to other financial support services, to affordable housing, to networking. And then we also have the connect with community component. You were there in San Diego with us, where we bring women veterans onto a private college campus so they can envision themselves there. I think a lot of times veterans don't have access to mentors that can enlighten them to opportunities. So bringing them on to private college campuses and putting them around women leaders in the community is both inspiring, but also it fills those social needs and esteem needs of, you know, you did amazing things in the military. Now let's educate you on the opportunities on the outside and provide you an environment to do that.
You know, first of all, that was fascinating. I mean, just because I think, again, walking in the shoes of a female veteran, and with what all that you do, how do some of these women veterans primarily find you? Is it by referral? Is it, you know, give our listeners just a little bit of idea that you're national or looking to go national? Because right now you're based in Southern California, correct? But are you looking for connections in other areas throughout the U.S.?
So Our resource and referral, or our Warrior Connection program, is national. Women from all over the country call us, and they find us by Google, but also we have a large presence in social media via Facebook, and there's tons of private Facebook groups that women veterans are a part of. So when someone reaches out in one of those groups for resources, we have a whole little community that will tag us in whatever thread, and we're advertised there. There's also 211, which is a resource here in San Diego and Orange County in LA. And so we're on there. We are widely known through the VA throughout Southern California. And we also have national partners as well. And so women that call us from all over the country, though we might not be able to provide financial support depending on their area, we will connect them with an organization that does. So one of our programs is national. The other two are local. And yes, we do plan on going national. And, that's a way out. We have to raise the money first before you're able to provide services in those areas. But that doesn't negate the need. I think one of the most challenging things personally for me is when I see a woman in Detroit asking for resources for childcare, and we're just not there yet. So, the need is prevalent. It's just finding the resources to provide the services.
Well, and, as a nonprofit, which I know, you are, and you guys have, you've been around a long time, so our audience knows, what is it that, if you had to say, like, the top three things that are on your list in kind of sharing, what anybody could do to be more supportive of the foundation for you, what would those things be? I mean, I know donations are always awesome. I don't know if you're looking for corporate donors, sponsors, what's your top three wish list of how anybody or somebody or a business professional, which is our kind of community, what can people do to support you and the Foundation for Women Warriors?
I mean, donations are key because money drives impact.
Sure.
The more well funded we are, the more we can focus on programs and less on fundraising. And then, I think outside of that, advocacy, having allies in the business community, because the more that corporate America knows about women veterans, the less mystery there is around our skill set, around what we bring to the table. And there might be some leniency for some of these, you need a 4-year degree, or, you have women who've challenged the status quo, worked in all male-dominated environments, and bring tons of talent and skill and grit, which can't be bought, to the table. So the more that corporate America knows about women veterans, I think the more opportunities can be presented. And I think the third is individually as Americans, I think, while it's nice to say thank you for your service, if you meet a veteran, figure out what exactly your passion and talent is and how you can use that to help a veteran out. It's like the old adage about teaching a man or a woman how to fish. We don't want sympathy. I think there's this narrative that veterans in some cases are broken or have issues returning home from war. I think more than anything, empowerment is key, and focusing on the strengths of veterans and focusing on our own individual strengths and tapping into them to give back. I mean, Michelle, you do that every day in your business. You're widely connected. You're a total giver and promoter of everyone that you meet. And so even individually, you've done that for me. I'd like to see more of that, because when you exit the service, it's easy to think that only people in the military or other veterans can help you. And I'm really, part of what I do is squashing that, No, women and civilians, period, have gone through all sorts of different things in their life, and they have access to opportunities, and it's time to bridge that gap and really become partners in the success of our veterans.
Well, and first of all, thank you for the kind words on me, but, you know, right back at you. And I think that's why we really love the alliance that we're building. But, you know, more than that, I do think, Jody, you know, as I, again, have been very well connected in Southern California, but, you know, it is because it's like I kind of keep myself to the business community, right? I mean, that's my circle. That's my peeps. That's what I know. You know, bridging that to veterans or from those who are in the military or opting out has been a huge eye-opener for me. And, you know, what's interesting, and I'd love your take on it on whatever you want to share, you know, that just seems like there's so much right now of information and, you know, things that supposedly or are going on to support veterans. I'm curious from your perspective, you know, is that working? Is it being effective? Or what's missing the mark? Is it that we're trying to make it too big and, you know, it's too commercialized? Or is the impact like one person, one at a time? I'd love your take on it, because I find in the business community, there's all the conversation about supporting veterans. And I kind of ask the question, is it working? I mean, is it helping? Is it making an impact? What's your thoughts on that?
I think that it's meeting people at their individual needs, which is really, really exhausting and tiresome sometimes. And so you have things in corporate America, which are a broad blanket that serve veterans, whether it's a career fair or some sort of large scale networking event. And that might work for a veteran, you know, that might work for right. a veteran that is in school or has just completed their degree and they're out in the world and trying to vet different career opportunities. In our case, at the Foundation for Women Warriors, we meet people at their very basic needs, but then also provide that component to the self-actualization or esteem needs or social needs. Because not everyone, you know, I think that when I have a woman veteran that comes to me and she says she's in some sort of financial bind, I know the underlying reason is not just, oh, she doesn't have access to enough money. It's what else is there? She's, you know, not, is it because she's not receiving support from her family? Who is her current network? Mm-hmm. What opportunities does she lack in? So I think some, you know, I don't want to beat up corporate America too much because there's a ton of goodwill ambassadors, but I think a lot of the work happens at the individual level. And I think that also we're seeing that's why the VA has the issues it does, because they try to push people through there as fast as they can. And they don't have enough caseworkers and they don't have enough psychologists to work one-on-one with veterans. I think veterans need one or two or maybe three good mentors, and mm-hmm. and the individual works best as I see it, but not everyone needs that. So it varies right. on different levels. It just depends on what stage they're in.
I love the honest perspective, because I think that's the only way, you know, that's where change happens. That's where, you know, just kind of those aha moments happen when, you know, there's just a lot of commercialization over supporting veterans. And I've just learned so much by, you know, getting to know you and interacting. And I know I only know a little scope of that. But, you know, for those of our listeners who want to contact you, because I think this is a good time to do it, I've got a couple more questions in our time. How would you like people to reach you? And I know you've got a fabulous, you know, new website that looks, it's smoking. We'll say that. It's a smoking website, and people should check it out. You know, it just is very, it's a nice website. How do you want people to reach you, Jody, if anybody wants to contact you, and especially for donations?
They can contact us at foundationforwomenwarriors.org, or they can email us directly at info@F4WW.org.
Love that. So please, to all of our listeners out there, if you're hearing this and you want to support a female veteran and or this amazing organization that actually does so much good, not only in Southern California, but as a referral source and coming to you nationally down the road, you guys do some great things. Please donate. Last couple questions, my dear. This is for you specifically as an executive director. You know, I think we're all challenged and we have successes in our role of what our positions are as women in business. And I'm curious with you, you know, I'm going to go to both sides of the fence. You know, what frustrates you the most about your role and what you do or any of that? I mean, again, choosing to share, but, you know, are there is there one thing that kind of comes to the top of the heap when you just say, you know, this is one thing that just it challenges me the most as an executive director and a leader? Or any thoughts on that?
You know,
I stumped you, didn't I?
I think every day brings its set of challenges. I think that we live in a highly technical world now. And so, you know, ensuring that we're always focused and staying true to our mission, you know, there's all sorts of different opportunities that arise. And, you know, being able to make snap decisions on what the benefit and what the risk is about, you know, aligning ourselves with different companies or different opportunities to go on TV or this or that, you know, weeding through some of those can be daunting at times. But I think, you know, the benefits of my job far outweigh any of the challenges. The challenges seem menial in comparison to the impact we make.
Well, we all have challenges. I get it. You know, I think here's another take. We've only got a few minutes left. But, you know, when you think of your transition, you know, when you were in the military and then you transitioned out and now your role and where you are, I mean, when you compare what you used to do in the military and now what you do as an executive director, what are maybe, you know, in my mind, what are one or two things or even three, if you can list them, that are maybe talent and or behaviors or skills that have really worked well for you as you've transitioned into this role and are building your leadership journey in the civilian world? Like, what was it that you feel has really been just awesome expertise that you knew in the military and it's worked well for you in the civilian world?
I think that I was very fortunate and had the unique opportunity to engage with my leaders on a very serious level in terms of the military. Being an intelligence analyst, you're providing actionable information saying don't go down this road, or you know, we might want to send a sniper team to watch this area because of the reports I've been getting. And you're giving that information to decision makers. So in essence, you become a decision maker because you're deciding mm-hmm. what is feasible, what's good information, what's bad, and you have to corroborate that. And so I've definitely carried those critical thinking skills over into every job that I've had since. And not being intimidated and also feeling, you know, I have a responsibility to the community I serve the same way I had a responsibility to keep all the Marines and troops in my area of operations safe and mitigate threats. So I'm really cognizant of the way women veterans are represented and, you know, highlighting their strengths. I think now we're seeing, like I had mentioned before, there's sort of this narrative that veterans are broken or we have different issues, and our organization focuses on the strength that women challenge
right.
the status quo and that we are far more capable than maybe some, you know, some instances in the military that detract from the mission. And so just staying in line with the empowerment piece has been supported by
I think that's what's amazing to me about your perspective on that, because, you know, that is, I got to say, just in getting to know you and what the Foundation for Women Warriors is all about, it's like, you know, and I'm going to be, I hope, being authentic here, because I feel like I've really learned a lot by talking to you, that was my thought, you know, initially before you and I met, was that women veterans, it's like needy, it's like, you know, what can we do to help or assist, and it's like, boy, you know, you've changed my mindset. I think that's pretty powerful when you think, nope, it's about empowerment. It's about, you know, being supportive from a connection, or, you know, who do we know, and helping bridge that transition, you know, with female veterans to the business community, if that's what they want or whatever that is. That is much more empowering than it is, oh, you know, the poor kind of needy kind of thing. And I
right.
champion you on that. I think that's extremely powerful, which I hope all of our listeners are getting right now. It's championing women veterans, not saying, what can we do to, you know, oh, poor women veterans, because that's not the case.
Right.
And that's what I think is exciting, right?
Absolutely. When I think about women's
Love
history,
it.
I think that, you know, women veterans are left out of it. We're going to change that. We've
there
blazed the trail long before, you know, long before we were recognized. And it's time to change the narrative.
And there's one word, Jody, that describes that. You know what word I'm going to say?
No,
these women
don't.
Are badass. They're badass,
yes.
Right? I mean, I'm learning to say that word proudly, pridefully, and it's like it just puts a smile on somebody's face, because I think we all, as women, no matter what our role or profession, or, you know, if we're in the civilian or military world, we want to be badass, right? We want to make our mark. My final question, I want to leave this on a high note, and again, you know, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to be on our show, and I hope this makes an impact and shares a message in a really positive way. But, you know, one of the phrases that I'm using now in the new year that's coming up, which I can't believe we're almost at the end of 2017, is this kind of concept that what got you here won't get you there. So I'm curious with you,
right.
as you look at, we're getting done, you know, with 2017 and we're coming into 2018, what for you is maybe something that what got you here won't get you there for the future? And would you share what that is? That's predominantly, you know, that piece. What is not going to get you to the future that got you where you are today, do you think? And what are you going to do about it?
Well, right. I think coming from a military background and then working for the State Department and Department of Defense, you transition into something that's more still like the military. So having a certain amount of rank or authority, no one was able to question you. So I now have a team of incredible women that work for me, but we work together. And so I recognized very early on that the culture that I promote within my organization was not going to be the same that I came from, and that the best teams are those that can question and challenge each other and bring different talents to the table. So I definitely know the environments that I worked in are not going to be the drivers of success today. They've provided me with grit and critical thinking skills, but I definitely foster an environment of collaboration. And that's something that we work on as an organization, but also as a team within our organization.
Wow. I think you're badass is where I'm going with this. So I think you are badass, because we're going to go with that. We're going to leave that on a high note. Jody, thank you for being our leading lady today. Our badass leading lady. To all of our listeners, I know you know here we're regularly here on Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. Today was a special show. And Jody, again, thank you for your time and for your service. And again, I think the message today to all of our listeners is, please, you know, as you meet other veterans or come across or interact, I mean, number one on the list, please support the Foundation for Women Warriors. And number two, if you meet a veteran, offer how you can be supportive, connect them, you know, advise, you know, build that bridge to them, to the business community. And on that note, I just want to say have a great week. You know, for us, for Women Lead Radio, we're all about supporting other women. And we like to say, if you are a female, whether you're a veteran or a business leader, take a moment and be supportive of another professional woman. I promise it'll come back to you. Thanks again, Jody. To our listeners, have a great week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.